Hey everybody, welcome to TCP Talks with Jonathan Baker and Justin Broadley from the Cloud Pod. In this series, we're bringing you interviews with the best and brightest leaders and heroes from the tech and cloud industry.
Welcome to TCP Talks. I'm Justin Broadley, host of the Cloud Pod podcast. I'm here with four esteemed guests, all from the FinOps Foundation or FinOps practitioners, who all attended the recent San Diego FinOpsX conference. And we thought we'd get together today to talk about what we're seeing in the FinOps community. And so I'm going to turn it over to each of them to introduce themselves. We have an esteemed group here. First up with a friend of the show, Rob Martin, who's been on a couple times. Rob?
Thanks, Justin. Very excited to be back. I'm Rob Martin. I've been with the foundation for 4 years now, which has seemed like 4 minutes underwater. It has been an exciting time where I've done a lot of training. I've done a lot of other stuff at the foundation, but currently I'm really focused on a couple of specific things, the AI Working Group, FinOps for AI Working Group, our ITAM initiatives, and our growing public sector, which is going crazy around the world. So excited to be here to talk about FinOpsX.
Fantastic. Mike Fuller.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Justin. I'm Mike Fuller. I'm one of the founding members of the FinOps Foundation and co-author of the Cloud FinOps book. Also sit on the steering committee of the Focus Project, so quite heavily involved in all things Focus. I'd also work with Rob and the rest of the team on all the FinOps framework.
Graham.
Hi, Justin. Thanks for having me on today. I'm Graham Murphy. I am the director of SaaS P&L for Technology One in Brisbane. Been involved with FinOps for about 8 or 9 years now. And quite excited to be nominated as a FinOps ambassador and Focus ambassador this year. I'm glad to be talking to you all today.
Well, it was a fantastic FinOpsX conference once again in San Diego. A lot has changed in the last year, I think, in the foundation and what things, you know, practitioners care about. I know I took away a lot of really great aha moments out of it. When I was looking for, you know, AI data last year, it was, you know, people were just starting to think about it. And this year it's come a long ways. What did you guys take away as big focuses out of the conference?
Trend on AI was very big this year. Last year was my first attendance at FinOpsX. And when I look back on the two, AI definitely grew a lot this year. A lot more talk about how you go about managing your costs in AI, how FinOps is going to drive better value out of your AI investments. And also just a lot of people trying to understand where to start as well in that front. But other than that, the conference itself expanded enormously. The size was incredible this year, just the amount of new people that were there. It was very high energy as well. It was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, there were about 2,000 people there this year, which was way bigger than last year. And the space was bigger as well. And so while it was a much bigger thing, it still felt pretty cozy when you were in any given place and being able to really engage with a bunch of different people.
I'd say you definitely got your steps up this year.
Yeah, I guess what we saw last year was a lot of conversation around practitioners looking at more than just their cloud spend. And over the last year at the foundation, we've really worked on how to bring that knowledge and that structure for the FinOps practitioners into a world where it's more than just the cloud dollars that are interesting to the FinOps team. And so we saw that sort of echoed quite well across many of the breakout sessions by practitioners, exactly how they're sort of incorporating other costs into the conversation of their practices.
I was actually quite interested in being in the SaaS space. I was curious what all the FinOps practitioners were coming to ask me about my consumption-based pricing models and how they want to be able to measure them. And so it was good to hear kind of some of the thought process, some of the direction with Focus, and how we need to think about it as a SaaS provider and how we future-proof ourselves a little bit for that coming attraction of our customers starting to say, hey, you know, you're doing consumption-based pricing models. We now need to track that as part of our FinOps practices. So it was good. And yeah, so it wasn't just AI, which was always a plus, because some of these conferences have got a little bit AI heavy. But, you know, definitely it's growing so much bigger than just cloud spend. And it's kind of the part I like about the most about this conference, because ITBM, which was big, you know, almost 10, 15 years ago at this point, was a cool idea, but only made sense for the biggest enterprises in the world who had like really good accounting practices. And now we're in a space where we have the right tooling, we have the right granularity, we have the right automation and APIs, that this stuff is available at the touch of a finger through things like the Focus Initiative. And so it's great to see what was an idea 15 years ago that wasn't really applicable to be broadened out into the FinOps conference and into the FinOps practitioner world. And that's one of my favorite parts of this conference, is it's such a great idea that, you know, finally has the right tooling, the right energy, the right momentum around it.
Yeah, I had Ticketmaster in one of our Chalk Talk sessions, and they said something that I loved, which was that they were happily hybrid, meaning that he said, you know, we fought going to cloud at first, and then we sort of fought to close all of our data centers, and now we sort of settled into this world where we understand that we've got all these different modalities that we're going to use to deliver value, SaaS models and data center models and cloud models. And so being able to see all those different things together and you know, get the granularity of the data, get the detail in the reporting, get the combined decision making and the collaboration, but really be able to look at that across our entire IT estate. And I think it seems like a lot of organizations are getting to that same place where they're starting to look at cloud not as a separate magical thing over here that has to be, you know, sort of nurtured and left alone, but rather as a pivotal part of what they're trying to deliver and a big part of how they're delivering their business strategy and their technology strategy overall.
And not just bringing that cloud back, but bringing cloud back into the mix, but also looking at how they can bring the learnings they, you know, have made on the cloud infrastructure and bring that back into the worlds that they've had elsewhere as well. So it is a interesting sort of confluence of those sort of worlds coming together and being managed as one section of IT spend.
Yeah, I think I agree with that one. It's an interesting point, right? Rob, you talked there a bit. So I think you see a definite uplift in maturity in the usage of cloud and how that's driving business strategy now. But I still see, and I still see an immaturity in the management of that. And I picked that up a bit again this year, you know, listening to people talk, talking to vendors, talking to other practitioners around the conference throughout the couple of days there. There's still quite a lot of people in that crawl walk phase, right? And I think, as you know, often the keynotes alluded to as well, there are no runners. And it still seems to be quite true. So it's interesting to see how we move forward in that space over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah, that was a big theme of last year's conference, was there are no runners. And it sort of was a little bit less prominent this year, but I definitely agree with you. I think talking to people on the floor, where they're at in their journeys, that, you know, there's so much changing. AI, ML has changed a bunch of it this year. I think there are no runners thing could be a theme every year for FinOpsX, because I think it just really resonates quite well with how this industry is changing, the maturity of it, how it needs to continue to grow and continue to evolve. I know, Rob, you were hosting one of the many rooms. Graham, you know, Rob, Mike, et cetera, any sessions in particular that stood out for you as particularly interesting or novel and something you hadn't seen or thought about before?
This year, I had a slightly different approach. I didn't actually attend any of the breakouts this year. I went for the Chalk Talks and just the keynotes and vendor talks. The Chalk Talks were quite interesting. I had an interest in attending a few because I actually hosted my own as well. Mine was a talk about enabling and adopting focus. So I attended other Chalk Talks to get an idea and sense of how they would be run, and what we needed to do to deliver an inspiring talk as well. But it was interesting, the ones I attended, and how people engaged. You had, you know, a room full of random people that you'd never met before talking about very much similar topics, and everyone in a very similar space to everybody else. you definitely gained a lot of knowledge from those. A lot more, I thought, this year than I did from breakouts last year.
Yeah, I would say the breakouts this year were actually better, I thought, than last year. So I don't think you made a bad choice, having done Chalk Talks as well. Those are always some of the better talks at all the conferences I go to. But I did find that the quality of the presentations this year, I thought, had gone up, at least in the sessions that I went to, and the depth of what they were willing to share. I went to a couple talks by Taiwo from Workday that he did on their practices, which were pretty mature, pretty robust, program that they built out around FinOps. And so, I think you can do no wrong at the FinOps conference. Everything is a win from my experience and going to most of the sessions. But, I definitely think the keynotes were better this year. I thought the sessions were better. I thought the Chalk Talk that I did attend, they seemed to be quite nicely put together. So, overall, to both Rob and Mike and the rest of the FinOps team, that kudos on that part of it. I think it was a significant step up in quality from last year.
And we passed the kudos out to the practitioners that spoke. We saw some, really interesting stories around bringing, the FinOps landscape towards the SaaS world. We saw licensing and SaaS at scale. We saw, really good presentations around how on-prem is being managed now by SaaS teams. And so lots of different stories about what this sort of FinOps in the Cloud Plus world looks like. And I think practitioners done a really good job of sort of telling that story. And I think the introduction of some of these other areas is also bringing out sort of the collaboration between a practitioner on stage with someone from their sourcing team or someone from their finance team, included in that conversation. So we saw more job title diversity across the talks, from practitioner organizations this year as well.
Yeah, I thought it was really fun. There were a lot more senior people doing breakout talks, like really senior people talking about how they get value out of FinOps. Kimberly Floss from PepsiCo was speaking. She did a bit in the keynote as well, but gave a breakout, and she's really moved from their FinOps team into their data and AI team, managing like their data globally. And to see people like at that level of organization, those big organizations around the world, kind of changing jobs and bringing FinOps with them or carrying that torch to different places. But there were still like a good number of folks who were talking about the basics, about how they were really improving something they were doing about forecasting, or how they were really digging in and doing something differently in their reporting. There's all those kinds of things. We had several hundred submissions from people who wanted to talk. So really, as Mike said, kudos out to the community for people who really stepped up and did a lot of work to prepare and to practice and to get those talks in place and really use the new framework. We had a lot of people sort of embrace the new scopes aspect of the FinOps framework and talk about like how they're differentiating their practice in different ways, either to manage AI or to manage SaaS or to combine the way that they're managing their costs together. So it was a really fun fun to see people really embracing that framework and then bringing it to the conference and sharing that with other people. As always, that's really cool.
Absolutely, Rob. I think one of the key standouts for me on one of the talks was at the keynote with Nubank. The way that they started out and talked about forecasting, the scale and speed at which they grew and how they had to adapt and change and leveraging that framework really stood out, and how well they did that. You look at going from 0 to 100 odd million customers in 5 years. It's just incredible, right? And the way they managed to use the framework to make that happen is a testament to how good it really can be.
So last year we were all very excited for Amazon to acknowledge that they were coming in to support Focus. Now, we fast forward a year later, it's there. Everyone, I think, is generally available, at least something or close to generally availing their support of Focus 1.0. And then, Mike, I think you guys dropped Focus 1.2 on everybody there. So maybe you could share a little bit about, what's happened with Focus over the last year and kind of where you're heading and what's the new things in Focus 1.2 that we should be curious about.
Yeah, so I guess the big sort of tagline for Focus 1.2 was sort of keeping up with how FinOps is approaching that Cloud Plus world with the introduction of SOC columns that really help bring in SaaS costs, especially those SaaS vendors that are using some form of virtual currency, so, you know, tokens or credits, if you will. So the Focus spec has started to carve out space for those types of billing lines to be introduced into the Focus format. And we saw the introduction of Focus or announcement of Focus support from Grafana or Databricks and Snowflake. And so we're seeing that the sort of the data generators, as we call them, is that that landscape is growing out. And I think that's when Focus really starts to show its true strides, is when it's not just the four major clouds or the six major clouds that support Focus. It's actually a whole long tail of all different vendors that are bringing their costs into that same structure. And so we're excited to sort of see the development not only of features that help with managing cloud spend, but also other areas of technology spend. This also pops up question marks around how can Focus help support data center, and we've had some good presentations from those who are generating, like practitioners themselves are generating data in the Focus format in order for them to cover more costs of IT. And we're in the process now since all the feedback we gathered at the Focus booth by practitioners during the FinOps X, we're now taking that in and looking at carving out the spec for 1.3. And we look forward to sort of that development to continue on.
Have you gotten any indication of how quickly vendors will adopt the 1.2 spec and then 1.3? I know you mentioned at the conference twice annual or releases of basically the foundation spec. How often do you see them adopting those?
Yeah, so I think there's sort of two parts to that. There's Focus itself is going to continue to do a twice yearly release. And that really is around just continuing to develop the spec of, the structure of the specification itself, ensuring that there's continual development. And mainly there are two releases that's there to help those who are defining the spec have a sort of cadence that feels progressive. And then as far as the data generators go, as far as following releases, we saw both AWS and Microsoft announce their 1.2 intentions. So we think that while specifically we're not chasing everyone for commitments, we are seeing those commitments come through to come up to the newer versions.
Graham, how is your organization adopting Focus in your day-to-day?
It's an interesting one for us at the moment. We have only just started to look at the Focus standard, a technology one. I am very keen to actually get it up and running quite quickly, though. I believe Focus gives us this ability to really normalize and understand our billing data better. So I have a big drive behind getting it into place. But on top of that as well, we're also looking at adopting it as a billing standard for our customers as well. So as we start to roll out AI into our products, we'll be changing things around our billing potentially, right? And how we can provide that information to our customers is quite key to us. So Focus is, for me, the default standard we should be using to make that happen.
It's worth adding that Graham's only fairly new into the role, right, Graham? So you've come in and you can see the opportunity there.
I'm 8 weeks in, I think.
You get at least 3 months to implement Focus at every new job. That's the role.
Oh, absolutely, right.
It was really fun to be at the Focus booth this year, because we had a Focus booth last year at FinOps X in San Diego, and a lot of the questions from people coming up to the booth were, tell me what is Focus. We also had a Focus booth at our FinOps X in Barcelona last November, and most of the people coming in were saying things like, I know what Focus is, but tell me how to actually start using it. Like, what do I do? What are the steps that I'm going to take? And this year, almost every conversation I had at the FinOps, at the Focus booth was people coming up and saying, I'm trying to get my data into Focus, and this is how we're doing it. I'm trying to get the data from these providers, and this is how I'm doing it. Are we going to have Focus data from this set of providers or this set of SaaS companies? And it was really, there was almost no one who was unaware of the standard or unaware that this was a thing that they really needed to be working on. And that was really exciting to see as well, because it seems like the word is out and the excitement is out about it, and now we're down to the implementation details, which is where we really want to be, right?
Yeah, it's really good to see the growth happen so quickly, right? From the initial announcement last year, introducing the specification to the industry, and then how it's been adopted so quickly by others, right? And it can only go forwards from here. I think, you know, being able to bring in those additional columns to support SaaS and pricing around tokens and that sort of thing is definitely going to shift things a bit from being able to bring in different technologies and manage all sorts of billing data through the Focus specification.
Yeah, I have to do a quick shout out to all of my public sector friends out there, because this is one of the areas where public sector is really, I think, in many ways advanced over private sector organizations. The European Union, of course, announced that they were standardizing on the Focus spec as a way to communicate cloud and other cost billing data between different parts of the European Union. They announced that at the conference in Barcelona, and have since established sort of an interagency working group. Since the conference in Barcelona, the UK government has also announced that they will be standardizing on Focus and establishing sort of a combined unified FinOps practice for the UK government as a whole, and UK governments plural. They're including sort of the local governments there. And most recently at the FinOps X Day in Japan, the Japanese government announced as well that they are going to be establishing a central FinOps function using Focus and other FinOps practices to establish things there. So lots of and the Canadian government, the Brazilian government, the U.S. government, and higher education groups are also sort of hard at work in this area. So this is an area where I think the public sector really benefits, especially because they have different challenges in the way that they procure services and the variety of things that they have to use because of the way that they tender their business sometimes. So it's really exciting to see that group as well getting benefit out of this.
Yeah, it's those type of standardization at the government level to also drive private sector to adopt more quickly, which is always a plus as well. So it's a win-win for the community as a whole that the European Union has kind of adopted it quite as a standard. Pivoting over to AI and ML, I touched on it at the beginning of the show. You know, last year we were just starting to talk about it. Are we really worrying about training costs? Because we all thought we were going to be building foundational models. And then we've all, I think, learned in the last year that that's probably not what you're going to do. You're probably going to run more inference or more localized training, do some smaller scale stuff to get the models to fit your needs better. But that's really driven a much different conversation. And what were you guys impressed about, or what did your takeaways around AI and ML use cases this year at this FinOpsX versus maybe last year, or what you've seen over the last 12 months?
So if you look at, state of FinOps data, it showed us that there was a very clear intake of both recognition of AI costs coming into scope for FinOps practitioners, and then this year we saw FinOps practitioners sort of signaling that they were now managing, quite a lot of the AI costs was coming into their workflows. And so, of course, the more that AI has gotten its attention at the board level or attention of the business, the more that money has been thrown at it. And I think what's impressive is the amount of money that's been thrown at AI across the industries. I guess we feel that the FinOps practitioner is quite well positioned to work with fast-moving cost data that's mostly consumption-based. In a landscape, like you say, that's kind of changing. There's new vendors, new offerings, there's different pricing models that are changing. There's sort of conversations about, is this, cost for inference going to get to zero in some future state? And so it's very uncertain exactly what the future looks like. And it's actually hard for teams to estimate what their costs are going to be. And so FinOps is very well positioned to sort of take on that challenge. I think the message from that we saw across those who are already on that journey is that it is different, but feels very familiar to what they've done before in managing costs in the cloud. I think that fast forward a year, if I was going to make a prediction, I think we're going to see a lot more practitioners quite comfortable with their AI spending and managing it. And then the sort of long tail of practitioners at least understanding what it is that they're going to do as they move into the space of managing AI spend.
Yeah, it's an interesting area, right? you know, when I look at our use cases particularly, we're very, very new into the AI game. And we have to do a model pricing and cost around it to try and see where it might land. We took quite an interesting, unique approach to it. We did a top-down view and we did a bottom-up view across it. And we had two different teams to do that. What was interesting on that one is we intersected almost perfectly across the middle in what we had forecast might hit the spend cost profile might look like, which gave us a relatively good amount of certainty that we were on the right path. So it's good to see how we can get two different types of areas in the business, try and work out what it might look like. But there's a lot of work to do and a lot of understanding to come still, I think. As it matures, as it grows, I think we'll see a lot of shift here.
It's been fun working with the AI, the FinOps for AI working group, because there's been a there's certainly a similarity to the even the way that we were thinking about containers, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, or the way that we thought about cloud, you know, 10 years ago or 12 years ago, yeah. When we had, you know, all this new language we had to learn, and everything was moving so much faster, and it was so much more spending than we had ever managed before, and there was so much more data to work with. And at the end of the day, you know, we figured that stuff out. You know, costs started really high, and then they sort of got lower as the market worked itself out about what how things were going to sell and how things were going to be put together. So I think that yeah, it's just going so much faster with AI. And there's the added part of this, which is I think that everybody, you know, I think it's pretty clear that organizations are using AI for a couple different things. One is to, you know, sort of improve their value, the value of their tools, the value of their products to their customers and give their customers a better experience, but also using it for internal productivity. And so you guys have talked a lot on the show about, you know, sort of the way that we can use AI to make ourselves more productive. So there's this dual thing that every FinOps team has about, like, how do I manage those AI costs with FinOps, the FinOps for AI part of it, but then also the how do I use AI to do my FinOps job more effectively? And we saw a lot of talks about that from some of the vendors and from some of the cloud providers who are, of course, you know, the ones who are purveying a lot of these AI services. So it's interesting to see, I think in the best organizations, FinOps teams sort of embracing that experimentation and the innovation and the things that they're trying to do in their own practice, but then also being able then to relate better to their engineering teams by understanding more about what they're doing and being able to talk about this new area in interesting ways. So it's been fun, and it's got a long way to go. I think that was our the release of our FinOps for AI training series was sort of indicative of that. Like, this isn't an area where you can just, like, sit down and take a test and become an expert on AI. This is something that's going to be developing over the next little while. And over the next year, we'll be releasing, you know, different tranches of content in that area to help people who are doing FinOps kind of come along, you know, on that path as the AI services expand and as the AI service models sort of settle down.
AI is another thing that's really driving that cloud plus world for the FinOps practitioner as well, is because, you know, whether it's the activities of AI usage in cloud, but then often there's SaaS vendors that are using, you know, dedicated to AI services, or there's even your SaaS vendors that are introducing AI components to their services. And then, you know, the desire to understand the AI spend, especially when it goes into the data center and to pass that out. So it is actually sort of really contributing to practitioners seeing the full landscape of area where they could have an impact, even just looking at that one segment of technology spend on AI.
The interesting part about the AI for FinOps, right, is, you know, everyone sort of now has an analyst that they can go send out to their cloud account and go run these things. And so it's interesting to see how the vendors are going to start integrating these AI for FinOps concepts into their tooling, right? I'm questioning the data with a ChatOps type experience where I'm saying, hey, I saw a spike in my account yesterday. What's driving that account, that spike? And it, you know, uses AI to go figure out from CloudTrail, you know, who, oh, so-and-so spun up an RDS instance, and that's costing you X number of dollars, et cetera. Those are really cool use cases, and I really get excited about those. I know I was playing with AI just over the weekend on my own personal account and saved myself $200. And I'm like, I'm pretty decent at the FinOps thing, and it was $200 I just had missed. It was a bucket that I hadn't properly put a policy on, and I came back and was like, oh, you have a lifecycle policy, but it doesn't make sense based on your use case and all these things, made recommendations, and we may save some money. So it was cool. And I think those are the things that we're looking for now from the vendors to start incorporating, is like, how do I get that awesomeness in the tool that helps make the tool better or more usable for me, combined with the fact that, Focus is taking some of the basic parts of getting a FinOps vendor up and running. They're standardizing that part of it. So now they're all going to compete in this different area of the product around AI and how do we provide more insights and more guidance beyond just reporting and, RI recommendations, et cetera, which is good, but, table stakes at this point.
Now, that's been the automation, getting to the automation of governance or the automation of policy has been the real key to maturing a FinOps practice, because there is a lot of that undifferentiated heavy lifting even within the FinOps practice to go and produce those reports and do that analysis and do the scanning. And so it is really exciting to see that, because it maybe allows the FinOps team to expand into areas they haven't even had time to look at yet or had the time to dig into. Still gives the same kind of benefit to the organization. That was we asked in the State of FinOps survey last time, how many of the 22 capabilities are you going to do more in next year? And people said like 13 of them. And we said, how many are you going to do less in? And they said one. So, there's a huge amount of extra work. There's never been enough time to do FinOps, all the FinOps you want. But now there's going to be even more as I think it starts to expand into Cloud Plus and cover more of the spending. And it's coming just at the right time, maybe.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to be, maybe it's a good time to pivot about where do you think things are going in the FinOps world over the next year. But, like the plumbing side of pulling in, usage data and putting it into dashboards and analytics reports, isn't the part that excites me about FinOps. I mean, it's cool. I like it that we have Focus and it's great that we have the standardization, and I like all that from the simplicity side of it. But, I get more fun into the, let's look at the architecture and, how do we re-architect the product to be more cost-effective and to become more cloud-native and take advantage of object storage versus NAS storage. So that's partially because I come more from that architecture, software, engineering background. That's where I find more passion in it. But then there's other people who are going to be more passionate about the data analysis side of it. So I think, from my perspective, and this is my opinion, I think you're going to see people who get kind of more into specialized areas of the FinOps frameworks, or they're like, I'm really big on the data part of it. I'm really big about the strategic, application of that data into my business. And so I'm kind of curious what you guys think. That's just my little take about it. I think we're seeing more specialization inside of the different parts of the FinOps practice, and people who do those parts really well and are effective, and people who do other parts being really effective at their parts.
I think that it's echoed in the framework in two different ways. There's scopes that Rob mentioned already, which is sort of enabling the practitioners to sort of circle around an area of technology spend, like whether it's the sort of obvious ones, straight around cloud, straight around data center, or it's actually across a different type of technology like AI. And we see practitioners already doing this around, like they might have a FinOps practitioner dedicated to their data teams, their data, everywhere the data is used. And as Rob said, Kimberly Floss from PepsiCo talking about how they're using the management of the way they use data in the organization cross-cutting. It doesn't matter whether it's for their AI spend or cloud. And so, yeah, I think echo exactly what you're saying, that you're getting these specialists looking at a targeted area, and maybe they're making a different selection of the FinOps capabilities specifically to uplift that area of technology spend than maybe someone else who's managing more deeply maybe the cloud spend and picking a different set of capabilities and maturing those at a different pace specifically to move that area. And then the other component there is the introduction, at least visually in the frameworks, explicitly introduction of having the business and technology strategies as part of the considerations. And so we're really trying to drive the idea of what data are you providing up, but specifically how are you taking the outcomes a business is driving for and distilling that down to actual decisions that are made across the organization, whether it's for product or infrastructure, et cetera. And so the two of those things combined, I think, is kind of highlighting that future that you talked about, Justin.
Yeah, it's not just cost management anymore, right? When you started in FinOps years ago, your primary focus was really just cost management, understanding your build, being able to manage that cost more. It's shifted completely now. I think, my drivers on this are very much around the value and efficiency side of things of your technology management across your entire business. And I think that's where FinOps is going to help make that a real reality now, particularly around the new framework and how it intersects very well with business strategy, technology strategy, and being able to have those conversations about efficiency and value rather than going and talking about cost, right? If you keep going to your engineers and say, hey, listen, your costs are out of control, you need to get your costs down. Talking cost every day will start to get people offside, but if you can start to talk to them about efficiency, and scaling quicker and providing better value to the customer, that's much more valuable in terms of conversations with your directors, with your VPs, your execs, and your engineers. And the new framework and the direction of FinOps is making that happen now.
Yeah, I think a lot of the time that we've got to spend with engineering teams, that was something that came across in a lot of the talks. As Mike was saying earlier, there were a lot of talks with engineering people and product people, or engineering people and finance people, or engineering people and leadership people. It's really clear that I think engineers are picking this up and going like, how do we embed this in, right? Part of the cloud adoption frameworks and well-architected frameworks of the world has always been cost efficiency. It's a part of the frugal architect ethos and all of that. So I think that's been I think FinOps is now providing data, putting that data in the path of the engineers, allowing architects to see, sort of the impact of what they're designing and how they're building things, hopefully to give them that view of what things are going to cost. And as companies are making more of those decisions across different platforms, that's where I think our alignment with ITAM, we announced a sort of an alignment with the ITAM forum at the conference or just before the conference as well. That's where I think a lot of the alignment of organizations within a company that are working on those same kinds of outcomes, right? And we all want to make sure that the things that we're buying are bought at the best price. We all also want to make sure that things we're buying are actually used to create the value that we want. And so in the ITAM practice, in the FinOps practice, in the financial management practices, everybody's trying to pull on that same set of data and be able to do, like you said, the differentiated thing that they can do with that data, but really drive it for the whole organizational strategy and make it all work. Because there's so much probably lost. There's so much waste out there still. That Gartner, there was a Gartner quote that we used in the training when we first developed a training, that like 30% of your cloud spend was wasted or was waste. And that number stayed pretty consistent over time, where we're still seeing that waste built in. And so getting to the architects and getting to the product managers early in the process of making sure that we're understanding what it is, what this thing that we're building is going to cost and what value it's going to create. And it's really cool to see. I guess that's the value of having a community of like 85,000 people, is that there are people working on all those aspects of it. There are people working on the details of focus, and there are people working on, how we're interfacing and influencing executive decisions. And there are people working on the finance interfaces and all of that. So it's really fun to see that coming together. And I think we'll see, at least I hope at next year's X, we'll see many more sort of personas represented and all of their points of view talking about how they're managing this stuff more effectively altogether.
Any other things you're looking forward to over the next year in the FinOps world?
Maybe not looking forward to from my point, but it's managing exchange rate fluctuations and how vendors can hit you in your underlying costs just by those fluctuations, right? Cost spikes by vendors by adjusting their prices to them. That's our next challenge for the next 12 months, I believe. There's been so much volatility out there that on this side of the world, at least over Australia, right? I think we're going to see some changes in pricing structures across the areas that we work in.
We saw all four major cloud providers on stage together and our day one. Yeah, so
it's one of the only conferences it happens at. So it's.
I know that's a funny thing, but it was cool to see, and it was I don't know that we've got anywhere up from there.
How many more can we get on stage next year?
Right.
Get some of the other DigitalOcean, some of the other people, and Snowflake, and the big drivers. I'd love to see some AI companies start getting on stage too, like Anthropic or OpenAI, and you know, as big data generators, as you call them, they're going to be big in the future. And so, getting them, you know, fully embracing the Focus conference and on top of this would be great. So,
yeah, that's actually been another trend we've been seeing is the members of the FinOps Foundation have been we've added a number of hardware vendors, NVIDIA, AMD have joined more recently, and software companies. Of course, we've had enterprises joining for a while, and so we're starting to see a lot more interest from those kinds of groups. Switch, a data center company, is now a member of the foundation as well. So we're starting to see, I think, people who are looking at those aspects of doing FinOps and saying, well, this is not just for cloud anymore. We've got to be able to participate. And this community is just a really dynamic, I think, group of people that helps to keep in mind when you're developing even hardware and data centers.
I put you guys on the spot. You know, what was something that you felt the community is divided about or not on the same page yet?
I think that there's a pocket of the community that really has a high desire for sustainability. And I think that, you know, we have tried to embrace having the hook points or the place to talk about sustainability available in our framework with the cloud sustainability capability. I think what's happening, though, is there's a lot of organizations that aren't prioritizing the sustainability conversation in the FinOps space yet. And so I'm you know, if we compare the FinOps XEU to the FinOps X in San Diego, obviously there's a lot more sustainability conversation happening in the European market. And so, you know, we are optimistic that the conversation around sustainability will come into play more and more for FinOps practitioners over time. And just, I think that, you know, our initial optimism that it would be sooner than later has probably waned a little bit. And so there's that foothold there for that conversation point, but we're looking for, you know, more organizations to see it as part of their important mix of capability set to bring that conversation forward.
Yeah, that's when I'm very interested in as well, but I agree with you. It's much more of an EU concern, even in the SaaS space. You know, we see EU customers being much more interested in sustainability data. You know, and then there gets into a lot of conversations around the cloud providers and their ability to be sustainable. You know, in their models, you know, you look at Google has basically one storage platform that supports everything they do, versus you look at an AWS who's got, you know, S3 and Redshift and all these other things, and everything becomes a data copy. Well, that's not very sustainable when you think about it from a sustainability perspective. And so it is going to be interesting to see how those things mature as well. That's a great one. I'm very interested. Graham, I think you were going to say something as well from the Australian perspective.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's an interesting topic that, right? I feel that maybe businesses don't quite understand the need to report or look into sustainability. That there's not enough directive, I guess, on this side yet either to really want to get into it. And I think when you're bringing that conversation in to the FinOps practice, where it's predominantly been about costs and cost management, how does sustainability fit into that conversation? The other side of it is, what is AI going to do to sustainability?
For me, I would probably say the depth of content that we want to go to in the data center side of things. I think we saw in State of FinOps data, most people who were reporting on you know, data center costs and SaaS costs and license costs along with their cloud in their FinOps practice, they were really focusing on the capabilities in that understanding your usage and cost domain, right? They were looking at reporting on it and ingesting that data and establishing some unit economics maybe, but they weren't really optimizing a lot in those areas yet. And I think that there are, you know, there was a great talk by Meta at the conference where they were talking about having changed the way that they're charging back their data center infrastructure, and they've got a massive data center. You know, they've got a data center infrastructure that would dwarf some of the smaller clouds, but they're charging that back in a very different way than they were before. And then we've got organizations who are even, you know, down to the details of like, how do I report on and control power use between the local electric grid and my data centers around the country or around the world? And coming from Loudoun County, Virginia, where we've got 8.7 million square feet of data center space, you know, that's a really important thing. But that's probably not a topic that most organizations are going to get to, that they want to dig in at that level of detail, because most people just don't operate enough data center capacity to do that. So I think that's another area where we've got a real good community, you know, small group of companies and clouds, of course, and some of our members who are really focused on that data center and data center power world. And then there's a lot of companies who are just kind of saying, like, I'd like to see that, some of that data. I hope some of that data shows up in the focus spec too, so we could start to use that again as that bridge between, you know, here's all the data that's available to you to do the FinOps job, and wherever you find yourself on that continuum, you can get that data and do the decision making you've got to do.
Well, if you are interested in FinOps and you didn't have a chance to get out to San Diego, FinOps, it might be coming to a place near you with FinOps X Days. There's one coming up in Sao Paulo, Amsterdam, Washington, D.C., and then details for an India one coming as well. As well as, of course, FinOps X will be back in San Diego again next year, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, June 8th through 11th, 2026 in San Diego. So it's called Family Planning for a reason. Plan around this. If your kids are graduating high school, you know, they'll probably graduate from college too. So this is a book your calendar, please, to fly out. Yeah, June 8th to 11th. Same days and same location. We'll have even more of the space.
Which is a beautiful place to learn a lot about FinOps and also enjoy the great marina and outdoor weather of San Diego. Although it was a little rainy this year. Maybe next year we can get better weather.
This will be a little bit later in June, so we'll avoid the gloom a little bit more.
Well, thank you all for joining us and giving us your recap of FinOps X. It was great. And for all of you out there in the world, check it out at the FinOps website, x.finops.org for the FinOps days, and then finops.org for the main foundation website. So check that out when you have a moment. Thank you all very much, and see you next time.
Visit thecloudpod.net to subscribe to the show, join our Slack channel, or sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can also find information on reaching our audience through a CloudPod sponsorship opportunity. A big thank you to today's guest, and thank you for listening.